When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome on in. Hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. I was down in the land of what is now Tom Brady's home turf, being Florida. And if anyone knows a thing or two about greatness, it is the 7-time Super Bowl winner, Tom Brady. He knows the hard work, determination, the dedication that it really takes to be great. And he lived that and was surrounded by it, by all of his teammates, whether it was in Foxborough, whether it was in Tampa, for 23 seasons in the NFL. But he says that's a mentality now that is really missing from many of the younger athletes these days, and it shows. He was on the Deep Cuts podcast recently, and here's what he had to say on that subject.
And I think the biggest problem with a lot of kids these days, all about them. It's all about them, their brand, their social media. And then when it's about me and then not about us, well, there's no way to succeed as a team if all you're doing is thinking about how selfish it is for you to get attention.
It's cool to show the world how great you are, but the most inspiring thing is how great you can make others.
That's the point of life, is what we could do. How do you help other people finish the race, not just you?
My first thought is I'm happy that Tom Brady is getting a haircut in that video because it looks like he needs one. But on a more serious note, he's absolutely right. There's a lot of athletes these days who don't have the team mentality in mind. It's all about me, me, me. Now, the first athlete that comes to mind that isn't even a recent athlete, not even a young athlete, was something that happened at this point a decade ago, and that's Johnny Manziel. He was a standout at Texas A&M. He was the Heisman winner in 2012. He had huge potential when he was drafted 22nd overall by the Browns in 2014, but he was so caught up in his personal brand about being, quote, Johnny Football. That was his moniker that he ended up actually trademarking before he even took a snap in the NFL, that all of what he was doing off the field, all of his antics, all of the controversies overshadowed what he was ever able to accomplish on the field during his two seasons with the team. He was so caught up in the lifestyle, partying, living the life of what it meant to be a pro athlete. Like, remember, he was obsessed with Drake. They were like boys for a while. And he was more obsessed with doing that kind of stuff than putting in the hard work that it took to maintain actually being a professional athlete. His partying habits got in the way of a lot of his team responsibilities. He even had to check into rehab at one point. Ultimately, the Browns decided they didn't want to deal with it anymore. They decided to cut him, and it didn't really take much for Manziel to realize the errors of his selfish ways. He's really been having a bit of an apology tour ever since, not just apologizing to the fans, to the organization, but also even going as far to apologize to Drake, saying that he didn't represent the OVO brand, which is Drake's clothing line brand, as well as he should have, which should probably be neither here nor there for Johnny Manziel. But still, he's been making his apologies, and I actually know him personally. He's a great guy. I think he probably was just a little too immature to appreciate the position that he was put in at the age that he was. And now he probably looks back and wish he would have done things differently, but still, good guy. And I'm happy at least that he has grown up a bit in that sense. Someone else that reminds me in this same vein of not really taking their job seriously of what it means to be part of a team was Antonio Brown. Now, not to say for a while he wasn't a stellar athlete, but then there was almost just like a shift where he started just acting out, and it just became more about him, about AB, the guy, and not about AB, the player. Especially remember when he was live streaming Mike Tomlin's speech in the locker room. This is video of that right now. This was a speech only meant for the team, and AB hopped on, was live streaming, trying to encourage even more viewers to get on and watch, trying to become a viral sensation. Then we all know what happened from there. I mean, it was just like thing after thing after thing that was occurring in his life. Some of that, I'm pretty sure, a result of CTE. He was definitely acting very erratic, but some of it definitely stemmed, I think, from AB wanting to build himself as a celebrity overall, not just a celebrity athlete. Now, this doesn't just apply to men. This also applies to women, because Carly Lloyd, the former captain of Team USA, said this at one point, quote, "It became more about what can I do to build my brand off the field what could I do to get an endorsement deal, and less about what we have to do when we step in between those lines. And of course, she was referring to some of her former teammates, Megan Rapinoe, I believe, being one of them, that she even had further comments to talk about when she was on the commentary team for their game this past year. So Carli Lloyd understands it. Tom Brady understands it. And even some of the younger athletes, some of which who I haven't mentioned yet, they're beginning to understand it. Even one of the former players for Colorado, Cormani McClain, says that he wants to play for a real program and not just play for clicks. A lot of people imagine that playing for Colorado really meant, in playing for Coach Prime, really was more of a sensational, buzzworthy type of thing. And they did start the season off strong, but we saw what happened there. And, you know, a lot of these guys, they really want to take their athletic career seriously. They don't just want to get caught up in the NIL deals, which obviously is a great benefit to them financially, but they want to be taken seriously as a player. And sometimes letting go of those distractions helps you to further focus on yourself as an athlete. So a lot of different directions to go as far as this. Brady went on to make further comments saying, quote, I think the physical, mental, emotional for us is so important. We have to evaluate ourselves every single day. How can you look at yourself and say, quote, how can I be a little bit better? How can I be better for my teammates? Your teammates could be your business people, your family, could be your kids. How can I be better for them every single day? And that is a question athletes should continue to ask themselves. That is, of course, if they really want to have a long-lasting and fruitful athletic career. So with that, let's go ahead and bring in Michelle Tafoya to comment even further on the subject, plus so many other things. Michelle, how are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. So what do you think about it? What do you think about the idea that there are some athletes these days? There were athletes in prior years. I mean, so far, I even mentioned Johnny Manziel a decade ago, who were more concerned about their personal brand than being a part of a team. What detriment do you see in that? And do you feel like we are continuing to see more of that these days?
We may be seeing more of that, but this is a tale as old as time. This goes back so many years. And it is when you get caught up in a spotlight of fame, of whatever you're doing. And I would guess that athletes way back in the day, you know, Hollywood would come knocking at their doors to appear in films or, you know, commercials, all of these kinds of things that began to happen for star athletes. And it's as sports has become more of an entertainment industry, these young people are looking at, yeah, I got a brand here. Look at me go. And it is, I do think it's probably more prevalent. We have democratized what people can do, right? You can go and start your own brand on Instagram, wherever you want to go, and set it up. And so, yes, you're dying for clicks. That's what brings in the money. That's what brings home the bacon. And now you've got NIL in college, and name, image, and likeness, and these kids are making a fortune. So I think it is probably becoming more and more prevalent, but I do think there have been certainly a number of people who have let this happen to them before, who have let careers slip away, who have been number one picks. Jamarcus Russell, I always remember, picked by the Raiders as their quarterback, and just didn't try, just rested on his laurels and thought he had already gotten the golden goose. He was good. So, but yes, I do see young athletes. I've got two kids, and my daughter is all about team, and my son is a team captain and all about team. But you can tell, you know, there are a couple kids here and there who are really about themselves, but I don't know. It may be more magnified today because of the social media element and because of the NIL opportunities and because sports has become a massive industry that is more of an entertainment industry than it's ever been before. And so I think that these kids want to capitalize.
Do you think that's going to be something that teams are going to take into account? The behaviors online, the potential of being selfish in players that they're considering drafting this week?
If they're smart, they will. If they're smart, they're going to go for cerebral players, players who are team players, players who have a high work ethic. Look, one good thing about sports is it's still one of the last merit-based industries we have, right? You can't succeed unless you compete really hard and earn the job on your merits, on how well you play a particular position. So that's got to come first. And ultimately, these things come out in the wash, as it were. You know, the dust settles and the best players survive. Kobe Bryant was a perfect example. You know, he always said, I understand I have talent, but I practice like I have none. And he was just the consummate workaholic gym rat, constantly working on his game. Jordan was the same way. How can I get better? And it is true. It's across all industries. I can tell you from working on Sunday Night Football, there was never more pressure because every Monday we regrouped and we looked at the tape and we said, what did we do well? Where can we get better? Every single week, every day, we wanted to make that broadcast better. And so it's across all industries. And, you know, I think it was certainly appreciated in our group that you had to keep up with the work. And if you didn't, you know, whether you were a PA or whether you were Chris Collinsworth or Al Michaels, the producer was going to get on you if you weren't holding your own.
And where do you think that the selfishness stems from? Do you think that that's something that's instilled in these athletes in their home growing up? Do you think that it's just a result of social media becoming more booming where they're realizing, oh, this is building my brand? Like, where do you think it comes from? Or is it a scattered thing where it depends on who the person is and where they pick it up? And of course, some never pick it up because they've got a great head on their shoulders.
Right. And I do think there's a lot of it built right into your DNA, right? You're kind of born with a personality. And then that personality is honed and cultivated at home. How are you raised? You know, I have seen, and I'm sure you've seen this as well, a lot of athletes from the time they're little, if they're really talented and they stand out, like I'm sure Antonio Brown did when he was a kid, people started getting dollar signs in their eyes. And they started looking at these players as commodities who could do no wrong. And so then, you know, you hear the stories about athletes being sort of pushed along through school, someone to do their homework for them, tutor them, help them pass tests or maybe take the test for them. We've heard these stories of kids being totally valued for one thing and one thing only. And that was their athletic skill. And when that becomes not only who they are, but what they are, you know, their whole existence revolves around this talent, this gift, then yeah, that's pretty heady stuff. So you do need to have a good head on your shoulders. You do need to understand that it does not last forever. No amount of fame does. And you do need to understand that in order to maintain the lifestyle, the status that you want, you have got to work your tail off.
Mm-hmm. Well, you talk about the identity of being an athlete, a star athlete, and we can certainly just probably not, you know, understand as well, but to come from the Manning family, the pressure that comes along with that, the sensation that comes along with that, Arch Manning, backup quarterback for Texas, he dazzled in the Texas spring game. And he's just making NIL money like it's nobody's business. He's putting up numbers like it's nobody's business. Like he's making a real name for himself, yet he's still a backup. Michelle, have you ever seen a backup cause this much commotion in your career?
Maybe Steve Young when he first got to the 49ers. Maybe Aaron Rodgers when he first got to or later got, you know, he was breathing down Brett Favre's neck. But this is the Manning name. And yes, he's also earned it. It is not just the name. He can play, right? And it's so interesting to me. I don't know. There's some sort of poetic justice that this is Cooper Manning's son who is gaining this fame as a quarterback. Cooper was, of course, the third brother of a Manning trio who's become famous for being very funny, but also because of spinal stenosis, had his wide receiver career end at the age of 18. And Cooper stood by and cheered on his two brothers, Eli and Peyton, all through their careers. And again, you know, Archie and Olivia, whom I know, they raised these guys to work hard, to be humble, and to appreciate everything that they had. That's pretty remarkable to do. And so I think that Cooper's raising Arch to be the same way. I think all of these Manning, Archie's grandchildren are going to be raised with good heads on their shoulders because all of the Mannings have them. And I don't think they're going to allow their kids to just rest on the name, rest on their laurels. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a pretty fun story to watch. We'll see how good Arch is. You know, I remember when Peyton was coming through Tennessee and they said, oh, you think Peyton's good? Wait till you see Eli. And now, you know, both of them have been MVPs. They've visited with the Queen of England. So now you've got, wait till you see Arch. So it's going to be fun to watch the arc of Arch's career through college. But yeah, this is fun. It makes for a great story down in Texas.
What type of arc do you see his career looking like?
I think all I would say at this point is it's extremely promising, and it all depends on fate, right? How and the portal, I guess. But I think he wants to stay there and play for Sarkisian. I think that's his aim. That's one thing about the Mannings. They respect the coaching that they're going to get and that they are getting. They operate within that. And, you know, you can remember the stories about just hearing them talk with kind of this laudatory view toward their coaches mm-hmm. in the past. So I think he wants to stay put. Of course, any minute now, an injury can happen that puts him in the spotlight. If he's smart, and I think that he is, and I think that he is heady and ready, he'll be ready to step right in. So, it's a lot of pressure for that entire program, because the minute Quinn makes a mistake, they're going to say, put in Arch.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is cool. I totally agree with you. One of my favorite things you said is the poetic justice that it's Cooper Manning's son, because that's the exact same thing. When I first started hearing about Arch Manning is, okay, you know, this is the one brother. Still, you know, you knew he was an athletic guy, just not to the level of his brothers. So it's fun to see now probably Eli and Peyton heaping on all of this praise on their nephew instead of one of their, you know, direct offspring.
Imagine you're Arch and you can say, Uncle Eli, Uncle Peyton, can we watch some film this weekend? I mean, that what a gift.
Oh my gosh, I can only imagine what it's like when that family gets together. I would love to be a fly on the wall during one of their holidays.
Absolutely.
I bet it's so much fun. Fun story there. Also, obviously, fun story last fall, Jim Harbaugh, Michigan winning the national championship. And he had said all along, he was promising, if we win, I am going to get a tattoo. Well, he finally got his promised tattoo. We have a look at it right here.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've never had one. Do you have one?
I have no tattoos. No, I am too much of a perfectionist to put anything on my body that I can't take off a few minutes later. So I have decided to not get a tattoo. But yeah. I appreciate that he's standing by his word.
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, this is what he said he would do. And I think a lot of his players would call him out if he never did it. It's also kind of, I mean, it's remarkable. Undefeated, 15-0. There's so much to it. The M, which of course is the Roman numeral for 1,000, and they got 1,000 wins for the program while he was there. There it is. I think that's his only tattoo so far, and he went through with it. It's like those coaches that promise they'll get a buzz cut, or, you know, they'll shave their huge long beard or mustache. He went through with the tattoo, and now he's in Los Angeles looking to lead the Chargers.
Yeah, he's had a pretty eventful year, I will say. Michelle, I know a lot of people want to talk about the idea of maybe putting an asterisk on that championship win. Here we are several months removed. I don't think Jim Harbaugh is at all concerned about it. He's living his life. He's doing big things. Do you think there should be an asterisk?
I don't know. No, probably not. They went and won the games. And yeah, we have the scandals and we have the suspensions for Harbaugh and so forth. But the team went and won the games in spite of it all. And they won in some pretty amazing fashion in many cases throughout the season, and certainly in that national title game. So, you know, I don't see the need for the asterisk, but I certainly get why some people do. But I doubt we're going there. I really do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, from football we'll go to gymnastics. Some people are making this into somewhat of a big deal. I personally don't see much of a commotion in it, but I want to get your take. Livy Dunn, she's obviously huge sensation all over social media, getting all types of NIL deals. She is super marketable, attractive girl, well-spoken, ultra-talented. But she wasn't even on the roster when the LSU won the gymnastics title, which for a lot of people, they probably would be shocked because the way she's portrayed, she's like this big, big, big superstar, which she still is. LSU has a stacked roster just because, you know, you didn't necessarily compete in the national championship doesn't mean you're not talented. How does this strike you? Do you see anything wrong with it? Are you still, you know, on board with all of the NIL deals and publicity and fame that she's been receiving?
I'll tell you something. I am not a huge fan of this NIL, the way it's structured right now. And it was only going to be a matter of time before people realize the very obvious reality that if you're beautiful and you are marketable in the way that she is, you're going to get a lot more than some other players are or athletes are, right? I mean, she has model good looks. She's stunning to look at. I was looking at her Instagram because we were doing this piece and I realized she has over 5 million followers on Instagram. And yes, and you know, the deals that she has, by the way, with a company that manufactures in China. So if she can live with that, more power to her. I couldn't do it. But so, and I'm talking about the Vuori sportswear. You know, look, the team won without her. They have incredible depth. They competed really hard against Cal and Utah, two really top-notch gymnastics teams. So I kind of would imagine if her teammates like her and appreciate her, and it appears that they do, they're kind of enjoying the coattails that come with being her teammate. Any post that she does of the whole team is going to go out to all 5 million plus of her followers. So, I mean, you know, I'm sure there's some appreciation in that. But the team, obviously, like you said, stacked, unbelievably talented. And by the way, the gymnasts today, my sister-in-law was a gymnast at the University of Minnesota. They went to nationals her senior year, and she watches today and can't believe the things that every year these athletes add to their repertoire. So gymnastics is one of my favorite things to watch, particularly in the Olympic years. I hope this brings some attention, more attention to some of her teammates who clearly earned it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on loving gymnastics. I'm a huge, huge fan of watching gymnastics. I was a gymnast back in the day, and my favorite, I mean, I still remember watching the Magnificent Seven compete in the 97 Olympics in Atlanta. I have a signed poster with all of their autographs hanging up in my childhood bedroom still. So huge fan of gymnastics, still am, and I'm totally with your sister when she says that the skills that they have today versus before is just wild.
It's wild.
I'm glad I'm not a gymnast exactly right now, because I would be scared to throw some of those combinations on the beam, on the floor, on the bars, the vault. I mean, I just can't even imagine. I probably would kill myself. I still have some injuring neck problems from my gymnastics days.
A dear friend of ours was a vaulter at the University of Minnesota with my sister-in-law. It's so sad. She got to the point in her career where she would sprint down and then just stop and not be able to complete the vault. It got so in her head. So there's a lot to be said about the fear factor in the ways that you put your body at risk in that sport.
Okay, so from talking about a women's sport, we don't, fortunately, I think I've had any headlines of any biological men trying to compete in gymnastics on a women's team. Not yet, at least. But we did hear about the pretty horrifying reality last week of what's happening to Title IX. And Riley Gaines made some comments about it. So let's take a listen and then we will talk about it.
It is something that not only abolishes women's sports as we know it, this would allow men in women's locker rooms, bathrooms, changing spaces. This would potentially allow men to be housed in dorm rooms with women. And this would compel our speech. Students and faculty would be forced, required, to use preferred pronouns. And if we don't, or if you, a 17-year-old girl who's randomly housed with a male in your dorm room, if this is something you go to your administration and express your discomfort with, under these new Title IX, this new proposal, this new rewrite, you would be guilty and charged with sexual harassment. Not the man parading around your locker room. No, to President Biden, that's considered brave. that's considered inspiring and stunning and whatever other virtuous word he wants to use.
Yeah, Michelle, I know this is a topic you are ultra passionate about. When you heard about the revision to Title IX last week and then begun to hear some of the reactions coming from women like Riley Gaines, who had to live through this firsthand, what are your thoughts?
You know, I was a little kid. I don't know how old I was, like 8, when Title IX came about. I was the youngest of 3 girls, the youngest of 4 kids. My older brother was a great athlete. And I remember my dad being so excited and telling us girls, this means so much to you. You have no idea. You get opportunities now that your mom never had, that your aunties never had. And so we played a lot of sports growing up. To see what's gone on with this is infuriating. To accommodate this, you know, that people will say, well, they're marginalized. These, you know, trans athletes are marginalized. Well, wait a minute. Women fought for this right to have their own division. Why do we have divisions in the first place? Because women can't compete with most men. And so they have their own division where they compete fair and square. You know, we've gone through it. It's like having weight classes in wrestling and peewee football. You are put in a division where you should be competing fairly and honestly. So let's just start with that part of it. And look, I don't, you know, I hear all the arguments. Oh, well, hormone blockers. No, we've seen tests and studies now that show that hormone blockers don't take you to that level. We saw William Bott, formerly of the United States Anti-Doping Association, who had a volunteer position with the NCAA, quit in the past few months because he said, basically what you're doing is when you're allowing biological males to compete against females, this is like when you're allowing women to take all kinds of testosterone and compete against other women. That was disallowed. That was banned in the Olympic Games. Let's remember the East German women. Let's remember how unfair of an advantage they had when they jacked themselves up with testosterone. How is this any different? He was furious. I've interviewed him on my show. He quit in protest. And that was quite a statement. But I've got to say, it's got to come from the women. We have to be the ones to say, uh-uh, we're not doing this. We're not standing for this. And I realize there is a contingent of women out there who says, you know, trans women are real women. No, they're not. That's why they have the term trans in front of the name mm-hmm. woman. The fact that we've gotten to a point in society where we have to ask the question, what is a woman? Where we're using pronouns, which I hope is a trend that dies soon, because it's silly, it's pandering in my estimation. I don't get it. We're in a crazy place right now, but it's going to take real action. It's going to take women stepping out of competitions where trans women are allowed to mm-hmm. compete. It's going to take real action from the women who are most affected by this, not just those of us who are sitting here talking heads, not just by their dads, but by the actual competitors themselves. And there's been mm-hmm. there's been a glaring silence, I think, Charlie, to some of this that you're not hearing from a lot of athletes who could really have an influence. But you are hearing from Caitlyn Jenner. And isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and we're also interestingly hearing from the crazy plane lady, Michelle, who made the whole fuss when she stormed off the plane saying those MFers aren't real. We all thought she was nuts for a little bit, but now it seems like she actually is someone that has some common sense. Listen to what she said recently. Oh, no, we just got a tweet. Never mind. She said, so is this now an appropriate time to tell y'all that that men don't belong in women's sports? So didn't expect her to chime in on this conversation, but look at how many views this tweet has. 1.7 million views, not to mention she was seen in the ultra-right beer bikini over the weekend. So she's really painting herself as a conservative woman, or at least a woman that just has some common sense, and just wasn't expecting her to chime in at this point in time. But, you know, when women are fighting for their rights, and especially when now things are getting very bleak and dismal, whoever wants to join in, More than welcome.
Well, this has been made for, as they say in politics, crazy bedfellows, because you've got J.K. Rowling, who's typically very liberal, almost leftist on some issues. But on this issue, she is hard and fast. No, women are women. Men can't be women. You cannot masquerade as a woman just because you believe you're a woman or you feel you were born in the wrong body. This is just not fair to women. And she has been absolutely ostracized and criticized and taken to task and threatened. And, you know, if you say I stand with J.K. Rowling, you are looked at as, you know, some sort of extreme right winger. And you go, wait a minute. Do you know anything about J.K. Rowling? Do you? Because you don't know what you're talking about. So, yeah, this is it's made for a lot of different people to step in and say these things. But again, it's been disappointing that someone like Megan Rapinoe, who made a living and a great living and became very famous by playing on a women's sports team, is now advocating for trans women to compete as well. I feel sometimes like we're in some bizarre dream world, and I just want to wake up.
Yeah, we are definitely living in a bizarre dream world. That is definitely for sure. And what's going on is ludicrous. And of course, we commend the women standing up. I wish more young female athletes or even older female athletes would take a stand, like you mentioned. But of course, that would mean then they have to sacrifice their athletic opportunities. So it's a bit of a double-edged sword at this point in time.
But hopefully something starts happening. Charlie, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just think it's so important. That they will be remembered for doing the brave, courageous, and the right thing by stepping out of whatever arena, whatever form, whatever court, whatever playing surface, and saying, I'm not going to do this. And there is safety in numbers. And if they would all do this and join together and say, this is wrong, I think we would see a faster change. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, Michelle, thank you so much. As always, a pleasure to have you on and speak with you.
Great to see you. Thank you, Charlie.
Outkick the Morning will be right back after a short break. Stay tuned.
All right, before we get to our last story, everybody, let's go ahead and give you a bit of an announcement, because there is an Outkick draft special coming your way Thursday night. Woo, we all love a good party. The hosts, Clay Travis, Chad Withrow, and Jonathan Hutton, coming your way 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on Outkick.com. Okay, now I leave you with one thing. Some other woman, a beautiful woman, a friend of mine who has some common sense. Thank goodness. We love to see it. Kristen Luell Gaffney, former Sports Illustrated swimsuit model. She and her family, her husband is a former NFL player. They have a couple of kids. They have packed their bags and they have moved from beautiful, sunny California, because of the politics, to Nashville, Tennessee, home of Outkick. They made the move because a lot of people are fleeing California in droves because they're not happy with how Governor Newsom is running the state. They're upset about the homeless problem. They don't feel safe. They don't like what's happening in their schools. And for a mom and dad of young kids, they just don't want to see their kids fall into some of the same ruts that they're seeing probably a lot of their friends falling into. And even we heard Kristen go on to Jesse Waters' show last week, and she had a couple of things to say. So let's listen.
You know, you come to California to, it's the city of dreams, the state of dreams, right? You think this is where I can accomplish anything, but it does not feel safe anymore. I don't feel safe going to the grocery store. I don't go anywhere outside, especially in metropolitan areas, without my husband with me. And I certainly don't take my kids into city limits. There is a movement. I'm sure you heard of this red wave leaving California, and red states might say, you know, don't bring your views. I'm certainly not. I think there needs to be massive change, and it's just like football. I compare everything to football. If this guy is fumbling over and over again, you have Newsom with over 20 years experience in our state, and he keeps fumbling, it's time to cut him, bring in someone new, and lead us to a W.
All right. Well, she said it as well as I could say it. Makes sense. You can't even go to the grocery store on your own without your husband. It's probably time to go. And speaking of time to go, it's time for me to go, everybody. Thank you so much for being here on this Monday edition of the show. Make sure you're following me on social media at Charlie on TV, and I will see all of you tomorrow morning.